I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. Thanks for including us, the Rain and Jays, in your daily routine. I'm John Corrales, here by myself, ringing in the new year. January 1st show, and it's just me. 1-1, so one host. Sure, why not? Let's go with that. Celtics, 108-105 winners over the Brooklyn Nets. A feisty, not-to-be-taken-lightly Brooklyn Nets team that, hey, you know what? We can appreciate now that we're not rooting for their pick. In fact, we want them to be good because the better they are, the worse their pick, the better the trade for Kyrie Irving looks. So, yay, go Nets! Except for tonight, where they lost 108-105 to the Boston Celtics. Lots to unpack here with the Celtics. Good performances from Kyrie, Marcus Morris off the bench. Terry Rozier had a nice game. Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. So let me just dive right into it. The Celtics came out hot, and it looked like they were going to, after a 38-28 first quarter, sort of run away with it. But we know better. We know better than to expect the Celtics to run away with basically anything. They can't do that, and they usually don't. And so they gave up a 31-23 second quarter. The Nets kind of hung around. They made a run late in the fourth, but the Celtics held them off. So let me start at the top here and just say that Kyrie Irving, 28 points, was pretty good. He had 28 points, but 10 of those came in the second quarter, where I think he was his best tonight in this game. That second quarter, I think he kind of carried the Celtics, where, look, that could have been much worse. And the Nets had an opportunity to come back. They took a two-point lead at one point after the Celtics were up as much as, I think they were up 13 before the Celtics, before the Nets took a lead. They pushed that lead up to 14 later in the game. But Kyrie in the second quarter did enough to kind of prevent the Nets from doing more damage. So he definitely had a nice game, but a nice second quarter. I talk about this a lot, that it wasn't necessarily clutch by the definition, but that's huge. That second quarter was huge because the Nets, when they made a run, that could have changed the entire outlook of the game. So Kyrie holding them off with 10 points in the second quarter was a big deal. I think that's a big deal. Other notables tonight, I think Terry Rozier is playing exceptionally well lately. And you see that he hit for 14 points and 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 of 9 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3. But beyond the stats that he's putting up and the points that he's scoring and the shots that he's hitting, Terry Rozier just seems a little bit more in control lately. The past few games, he's not taking wild shots. He's not taking contested shots. He's moving at a speed that is more in control. And another thing that I've talked about in the past on this show is slowing down to speed up, even if it's just a tick, even if it's just that little bit, to slow down and get to a spot on the floor that allows you to do something positive. That is really important. In fact, I'll cross over to the Patriots real quick. I don't know if you watched the Patriots game Sunday afternoon, but Deion Lewis had he ran for a bunch of yards, and there were a couple of plays where he slowed down a lot and waited for something to open up, and then he found a hole. There was one play where he just flat out stopped. He just stood there and waited. And then a hole opened up, and he went through it and gained a bunch of yards. That, instead of just running as fast as you can, finding the first hole and maybe not getting anywhere, he waited. An opportunity presented itself, and he took advantage of it. Now, switch over back over to basketball. Terry Rozier has, I think, started to do a little bit more of those types of things where instead of just going, putting his head down and just going and just diving into the lane, he's probing at the right time. He's doing it at the right speed. He's not just attacking without a plan. He seems to me that he's just a little bit more in control and seeing the floor and taking things as they come. And what that's doing, it's allowing him to get cleaner looks, to just make better basketball plays. So shout out to Tito Three Sticks, hitting big shots, hit a buzzer beater at the end of the first. Just a nice overall game for Tito. Jaylen Brown made his return tonight. Jaylen Brown shot 5 of 10, 3 of 5 from 3, 0 of 2 from the line, which is weird, right? Like, he just, I don't understand his free throw problems, but they're there, and he'll have to fix those. But 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists for Jaylen Brown. A nice night for him coming off of that knee injury, and I'll play a little bit of sound of Jaylen Brown here from the practice. The one practice the Celtics had this month, their first practice since the end of November, which, don't even get me started here. But Jaylen talked about the knee issue and the schedule and playing with the brace, and it really just the challenge of keeping your body right and playing with that injury and playing through it and just trying to keep yourself prepared for the things that happen in the NBA season. With this constant crush of games where you play, 17 games in a month. That's ridiculous, 17 games in a month. Doing that, especially when you get those little nagging injuries, and Jaylen talks about it. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, but he does talk about it later on. You get like a little nagging thing like the Achilles injury, and you overcompensate by just favoring your healthy leg. And then that what ends up happening there is you end up kind of putting yourself at risk for injury on the healthy leg because you're just asking it to do more than it normally would. And he has to take better care, and athletes in general have to make sure they get that preventative care. So he wore that sleeve. You saw that on his leg. It's not necessarily comfortable, I guess, but he talks about it here. Let's just listen to him talk about it.
I don't want to play in a brace, but something restrictive to kind of to keep it stable. I don't want to re-injure it, or if something were to happen, I want something to be there to catch it.
And just for a guy who relies a lot on his athleticism and the quickness and things like that, how awkward is it just kind of even practicing with a brace on?
It's very awkward, but it teaches you a lot about the game. You know, still got to be effective, find ways to be effective if your athleticism or if your speed isn't there. So I think it'll be good for me, you know. So coming out, just trying to find ways to help our team, you know, and just slowing my game down a little bit, maybe it's a good thing.
Last time we talked, you said it was still pretty sore in the ligaments around the MCL. Do you feel, though, that it is progressing and it's not as sore as it was last time?
Absolutely. I think I've made really fast improvements. I think faster than they thought it would be, faster than I thought it would be, because the first day I had to leave on a crutch. But I think it's doing the trajectory of it is doing really well. I just want to keep taking care of my body so I don't have any further injuries.
How are you finding the balance between trying to get back as quickly as possible but not rushing back?
It's a long season, so I want to play as much as possible. I want to be there for my team as much as possible. Anytime we lose a game or anything, if I'm not playing, I mean, I feel like I could have been there to help or anything. But at the same time, I got to understand and be smart about things. this is more than the energy level, the exertion level is more than I've probably ever exerted in my entire life, you know, just guarding at a high level, scoring at a high level. So, you know, your body takes a toll. So I got to do a better job preventative-wise of taking care of my body, and that's an adjustment phase, you know. So I'm getting better and better as I go, but definitely getting a better routine and just trying to keep going, because youth has been a lot of the things that's been keeping me healthy and my energy is high. But, you know, as those games start to pile up, you know, you got to continue to take care of your body.
And that's one of those things that no matter what anybody told you how this is going to be, you kind of had to go through something like this to really understand the value of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a blessing that it's not worse, and I don't have to go through it in that way, so I can recover from it and still be there to help my team.
You've heard me talk about the schedule so much, and I'm kind of sick of talking about the schedule. It's been brutal. Look, the Celtics beat the rest of the league to 30 wins this year. They've got 30 wins. They actually, league-wide, they trail the Warriors by a half game. They have one more win but two more losses. So they've played three more games than Golden State. And they have – so that gives them a half game – they're a half game back. So the Warriors have won 78.5% of their games. The Celtics have won 75% of their games. So one of four teams to win 70-plus percent of their games. The other two are Houston and Toronto. Toronto, low-key, is having a great season. Nobody's really paying attention to the Raptors. They're right there. They're right behind the Celtics. They're right there. A little skid, and the Celtics could be in trouble. In fact, the Raptors technically took a short lead in the standings. So don't sleep on the Raptors. They're right there. And that's another conversation for another time. They're good. And they've changed their style. They're doing a great job. Some things that may be not so great up there, but we'll save that for another time. Celtics, 30 wins. The Warriors have 29. No one else has more than 25. That's how many games the Celtics have played. So when it comes to Jaylen, it's just about taking care of your body and making sure you're balanced and making sure that you're taking those preventative measures to prevent further injury. That's just a thing that it's easy to kind of let go when you're a player, especially during a stretch like this in December that the Celtics have had. You just get so caught up in, look, you have a game, and then you got to rest, and you have to just, you want to stay off your feet. You don't want to put any stress in your body, but you still have to do certain things to make sure that your body stays strong. Because otherwise, all you're doing is pounding your body during a game, and then you're not giving your body the best chance to recover. There's still weight training to be done. There's still things you can do that will help you. Things like yoga. Things that just keep your body strong and stretching and are low impact that can help prevent injuries. So those are the types of things that Jaylen Brown needs to do. And look, he's young enough. He's 21 years old where he understands that now. He's learning the lessons. He's figuring it out. So good for him for figuring it out. Other notables from tonight's game. I want to give a shout out to Aaron Baines, because Aaron Baines was a man tonight, man. That dude was a beast in this game. Early on, especially, Aaron Baines, he was a plus 12, and he was every bit of a plus 12 on the floor. He did positive things. He had 10 rebounds. There's no way this box score is correct where he only had one block. There's no way he only had one block. I do not believe that. That's just, you can make up a different stat, I guess. He challenged so many shots at the rim. Maybe he technically didn't get a block, but he stopped a lot of shots at the rim. So shout out to Aaron Baines, man. We haven't done a boat in a couple of weeks because of the holidays and everything. And I don't think I'm going to do a boat tonight. So I'll do like a mini boat right now and just say, Aaron Baines, you got the boat to yourself. Take it out. Go for a spin. Down in Australia, it's like summertime, so just pretend. Put on like some VR goggles and pretend that you're taking your boat out for a nice summer spin down somewhere in Australia. So do that. I just think Baines was great. And look, maybe Baines is a victim of the schedule, and it's just been tough for him. I don't know. Baines during the streak was awesome. He was doing the stuff that he did, especially in the first half. He did that during the streak, hitting mid-range jumpers, protecting the rim. That's the type of game that they need from Baines. More than anything, in December, that's what we haven't seen much of. And there are some matchups, like the Houston matchup early on in that game, Baines was just not effective. And he came back later and did a good job, but there might be some matchups where Baines could have some problems. But Baines during the streak was a beast, and tonight he was a beast. And that's the type of play we need from Baines on a regular basis. And hopefully, with some more rest and more practices to kind of get some things back on track, they can do that. And he can kind of go back to being that player. Shout out to Marcus Morris too. 15 points, 5 of 7 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3. He's kind of back. In fact, a tweet I'm going to quote from Bobby Manning. Marcus Morris says, the minutes restriction is forcing him to be aggressive in the spurts that he plays, and he's finding his groove after playing, quote, out of character in his initial return. So early in the Rockets game, people were tweeting me, and in the Wizards game, people were tweeting me saying that Morris is kind of, he's done, he's ineffective. Like, you got to let this guy get back to being, you know, back to being comfortable. I thought he did a great job. He did a great job down the stretch of the Houston game, and tonight he was really, really impressive. He's the type of guy we need off the bench. And honestly, let's keep that minutes restriction on him, because if it's going to force him to be aggressive, then keep it going, because that's the type of play we need. Yeah, obviously, I don't know if he's going to average 15 points off the bench in 17 minutes, but that's the type of play we need from Marcus Morris. That was great. It was just great. And he saved the Celtics down the stretch against Houston, and the minutes that he played tonight were very effective. Also very effective, Al Horford, Mr. Gorgeous Eyes himself, shout out Jan Packard, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. There was a stretch in the third quarter, man. He was blocking everything, like everything. It was ridiculous. The rim protection was there. Just 30 minutes, which is great. Only took 9 shots, but, you know, it is what it is. He's not going to shoot a ton. He's going to try to distribute as much as he can. So, shouts to Al Horford. Let's hit the Rain and Jays hashtag, GatesBen, @Gates_Ben. Ben Gates, our guy. When they play as they did tonight, the Celtics actually have one of the better second units in the league. And that brings me to the second quarter starters. They trotted out Marcus Smart, Tito, Jason Tatum, Mook, and Al Horford, which may be a glimpse into the future. I think that could be the second unit. They may try to mix it up and throw Kyrie Irving in there sometimes, but that's a solid second unit, I think, or second quarter starting unit. Guys off the bench played exceptionally well. Marcus Morris, like I said, Marcus Smart did, you know, he was okay. Not great tonight. They let him shoot and he missed all of his threes, but he did all right. Tice did a good job off the bench. Rozier, like I said, Tito's been playing really well. Shane Larkin for a short stretch, he's made some good contributions, but I think we're going to start seeing some of these like second quarters and these problems spots for the Celtics be cleaned up a little bit. After they get through this week, some of these guys, Larkin's not going to get a ton of minutes. I don't know how the rest is going to shake out, but and we'll see what happens when Semi Ojeleye comes back. I just think you're right, Ben. These guys, when they're all rested and playing well, they're pretty good. Like I said, Morris is going to be really good off the bench. Smart is smart. Tice is a nice pickup. Rozier, those guys, Ojeleye, they're going to be really good, I think. So it's nice to see. At Stephen W. Lyons, they out there trying to make the Cavs pick less valuable. Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Brooklyn. You know, Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, doing a great job in Brooklyn. I think, and I tweeted this out, Nets fans should really be optimistic. This is not a great situation for them. They've climbed out of rock bottom to be better. They're not particularly great. They're let's see, three games from the worst team in the league, but they're also three games from the Clippers, and which is the middle of the pack in the league. And in that Philly, New York, they can climb into that realm of okay, not great, but okay. You know, they can be they can be better than Phoenix. They can be better than Utah. They can get in there better than the Clippers. You know, they don't have D'Angelo Russell. He's been really great for them. And he's been out for a while with a knee problem. So, you know, if Russell was in this game, it would have been totally different. So it's just, I just think that the Nets have done a fantastic job climbing from nothing to mediocre, a little less than mediocre, which, trust me, that it sounds terrible, but it's a compliment. The Nets have, they were just horrible. And without picks to rebuild things, they had to make very creative moves. They did a great job. So I just want to shout out Sean Marks for rebuilding that team and putting them on the right trajectory. Kenny Atkinson for getting these guys to play hard. That team could have quit multiple times tonight. They did not. So, yeah, the Nets, good for them. And now that Cleveland has their pick, I can appreciate what the Nets are doing. At Vegetable, oh, this guy's name is Vijay, but his Twitter name is Vegetable, oh, like a planned vegetable. I like it. I'm down with that. Creative Twitter names are one of my favorite things. Is it me, or are they making concerted effort to have Kyrie play more off ball? They've been doing that all season. And that's something that they were talking about coming into the season. So it's not you. They are making concerted effort. There are many times when either Rozier or Smart or Shane Larkin will bring the ball up the floor and they'll get Kyrie Irving more catch and shoot opportunities. It's something that they've been trying to do. And I like it. I think it's a great idea. And it's something that they didn't do a lot of for him in Cleveland, and so this is an opportunity for them to get him just different looks and open up a different part of his game. At Tyler Yates 9. Tyler, my Ren and Jay's question is just a way too early prediction of what Kyrie Irving will do as far as re-signing with the Z's. My way too early prediction is that he will probably ask for the max. Whenever that happens, he has a team option. A player option in 2019, the 2019-20 season. So he's under contract next year. And then 2019-20, he has a player option for $21 million that he will absolutely decline. And at that point, whatever the cap is, he will ask for his share of the cap. Gordon Hayward that year will make about $32.5 million. Kyrie Irving will probably make somewhere around that. Whatever the max is, he will ask for it, and he will deserve it, and he will get it. If it's not the Celtics, he'll get it from somebody. I assume at that point the Celtics will give it to him, but that's a long time, and we don't know how the drafts are going to shake out. Maybe the Celtics get that second pick this upcoming season, this upcoming draft, and maybe they end up drafting Doncic, and or however you pronounce his name, and he becomes the Kyrie Irving replacement, and they, who knows? Who knows? I can't. Danny Ainge has so many tricks up his sleeve. I have no damn clue. And I'm not going to try to guess. I can sit here and say that it probably won't happen, but I've said so many things that probably won't happen that have actually happened that I'm going to stop saying probably anymore. My expectation is that Kyrie will take the max from Boston. He will take that fifth year, and he will stay here and finish out most of his career, and assuming the Celtics could, if this plan comes together and they win a title or two under Kyrie Irving, that he may well finish his career in Boston. So, let's see. Brian Kelleher, that ref messing with Kyrie could be a good thing for the Celtics long-term. Hashtag angry Kyrie. Yeah, that, I assume you're talking about the Hayward Workman thing where I tweeted out the Brad Stevens lip reading where he said basically that Kyrie was right, and whatever Workman said back to him, he said, well, make the right call then. Look, anything that motivates a player, I'm all for it. All right, Sam Jam Packard is not here, but let's do a junk drawer anyway. I've got junk. It's John's junk. Not Jam's junk. It's John's junk. Whatever. We're going to go with it. And we're going to start it with Rob Sony at Sony1056. Arm wrestling competition. Who you got? Shemmy or the Dancing Bear? Oh, man. Ojale versus Yabusele, combat muscle versus combat muscle. I'm going to say that Yabu takes it because he's just a bit bigger. Yeah, I think like Ojale is huge and Gershon is huger. They're both listed as 6'7", but Yabu's got like 200. He's got like 20 pounds on Ojale. Like I'm just gonna give him the benefit of the doubt there. I just think that size is too much. But I don't know. He's also, you know, maybe he's also like a gregarious guy. Maybe he's just not into that. Maybe Shemmy's a little bit more intense. But I'll go with Yabu. I'll just take Yabu. I'll take the Dancing Bear. You know, whatever. That's fine. Also in my junk drawer, want to shout out Brad Stevens. Mark D'Amico tweeted this out. Told the guys at the end of the second quarter, quote, you're playing soft as hell. Which, when you look at the thing that I was just talking about, tweeting out about Brad, just giving the ref shit. Let's be clear about Brad Stevens. He has this very polite, aw shucks, Midwestern kind of aura about him. That's bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on Brad. That I'm not saying it's a lie. I'm not saying it's a front. That's who he is. He's a very polite in, you know, the media to us. If you took him to meet your family, he'd be super, super polite and very respectful and all of that stuff. But, in games, in practices, when it comes time to go between the lines and the basketball's in the air or the dribbling, they're dribbling, when the basketball's in play somewhere, practice game, whatever, Brad Stevens is not aw shucks. He's not. You can't be the coach that Brad Stevens is amongst NBA players, amongst personalities as strong as guys like Kyrie Irving, guys with transcendent skills who have egos, and every player's got that ego, egos that are just massive. You can't just be aw shucks, golly gee, just super polite. Oh, no, you go first, please. After you. No, no, no. You got to match that shit. You got to match that shit. And he does. Like, he, maybe it's sly. Maybe he, like, kills you with kindness somehow. But don't pretend. Like, you can see it. You can see it in the way he talks. I can see it sometimes when he's talking to Scal. He's got bite to him. He's got bite to his personality. He is not afraid. And just because he doesn't swear all the time, like I would, it doesn't mean that he doesn't. It just means that it's very effective when he does. It's especially effective when he does. But behind closed doors, and maybe one of these days I can get these players to open up a little bit about Brad and get to the heart of who he is. But I'm telling you, Brad Stevens, as nice and polite as he is, on the court, in the locker room, when he's talking to these guys, he says what he's got to say, and whatever they throw at him, he will throw it right the hell back at them without a doubt, without a doubt. I'm telling you, in like 10 years, he's going to have like the full gray Popovich beard. He's going to be sarcastic and biting, and he's just going to, it's coming out. I've been beating this drum for years. You've seen that slow evolution. It's happening. It's happening. Brad Stevens has that attitude. It's in there. It's just covered by that Midwestern politeness, but it's in there. So, continuing the junk drawer. Marcus Smart had one of the most ridiculous sequences I've ever seen in my life. The turnover. He had a turnover, and then he had a Marcus Smart FU steal, and then he went up. I guess he was afraid of somebody, like a chase down block or something, and he tried to dunk, but he was nowhere near dunking height, and he went with the left hand and missed it so horribly. Like, that was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. The girl that is now like Twitter famous, who, when Jason Tatum, Al Horford threw a pass. It was like a full court pass, and it was too long for Jason Tatum. And he was sprinting full speed down to the corner, and he missed it. And then his momentum, he just kind of like ran into the crowd, like up that little corridor there. And there's a picture going around on Twitter of the girl who's like looking at him like, oh my God, Jason Tatum is right there. She's got like this big mouth open look. I just want to send her a shout out. This is dope. That's a great picture. It's one of the best pictures. I don't know who you are. If somebody can find out who she is, I want to say hello, because I just want to welcome you to Celtics Twitter fame, because I'm going to use the shit out of that photo. Anytime Jason Tatum does anything good, you are the star of Twitter. You are going to be on Twitter, like anywhere, everywhere. People everywhere are going to use that picture whenever Tatum does something good. Like, just, we're like, oh my God, Tatum's awesome. So, yeah. And Kyrie had these sick handles, man. How sick are Kyrie's handles? That dude got tackled at the end of the game. Tackled on a foul. And he kept that dribble alive. Go to my Twitter. See the video. At @RedsArmy_John. See the video. Dude got tackled. Kept the dribble alive. Got up. Crossed over. And went up for the layup. Just, I mean, after the whistle. But that's some Globetrotter shit, man. That's some Globetrotter stuff. Unbelievable. So, all right. That's the end of my junk drawer. Jam's junk drawer is better. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know already. But look, I got to pick up the slack. That's what we do. I'm here by myself. I'm, you know, trying to do my best. One last shout out to my boy, Millie's. Millie's, who did our intro. I went to go see him at a show on Saturday night. He was in New York City at the Gramercy Theater. Killed it. Killer set. I just want to say, you know, what's up to Millie's. I'm very happy to see that his career is really starting to take off. He's on this little tour, you know, making a little bit of money, doing what he's got to do. And just, like, he's a huge Celtics fan, and I'm very excited for him and his career. He hooked us up with these intros. He did this intro that he did for this season is a second version of the song. He's already said if the Celtics win a title, he's going to do a third version. So, look, he never had to do a single version, and he hooked us up. So I'm very excited to support his career and to see him live and check him out. He did a great job. Although, I will say, I felt really goddamn weird, because it was like the whole place was college girls, and I felt like a cop. It really felt like a cop. I tried to, like, be cool and like I kept my distance. I was like trying not to be like suspicious or anything, but I definitely felt out of place because he was like on stage saying, "Oh, who's in college?" And the whole crowd's like, "Woo!" And I'm like, "Not me." That's been like 25 years. So, but all right. So maybe I'm not part of his core audience, but he's still really good. And I thought his last album was really good. So thanks, Millies, and shouts to you for a great show. And I appreciate the hookup getting me into the show. All right, that's it. Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first show of 2018. God damn it, I hope 2018 is a good year because 2017 was not great necessarily. 2016 wasn't great. I thought 2017 might be better, but big, big hopes for 2018. And hopefully those include great things for the Boston Celtics. So 40 games down. They got a few more games. The next game up could be possibly Isaiah Thomas's return to the court, his first game back, and in Boston. Won't that be some shit? We'll see about that. But we'll be back. The guys will join me the rest of this week. I hope that you are having a good time. I hope you're having a safe celebration. I hope that you wake up on Monday morning and have, you know, the worst thing that you have is a bad hangover. So let's go Celtics. They beat the Brooklyn Nets 108-105 tonight. If you're not a subscriber to the show, hey, subscribe. What are you doing? Subscribe. Hit us up. Wherever you find your podcast, if you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us 5 stars, go to iTunes. If you're a subscriber on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, rate us, give us a good review. Let people know this is our currency. This is how we operate. This is how the podcast world works. We live on good reviews and 5 stars because if you don't get those reviews, you don't get those stars. People don't listen. And then that's it. There's no reason to do the podcast when nobody's listening. So we hope you're enjoying it. We hope you enjoyed it enough to hook us up with that rating, that review. Share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell 5 friends. Let them know. Let all these Celtics fans know. They should be listening to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.